What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to Balrog Radio. My name is Matt Weston, and tonight I'm joined by the master of the Keyblades himself, my good friend Taylor. How are you doing tonight, my friend?
I'm doing all right, especially with the whole master of the Keyblades. Even though I feel like if that whole world existed, I would not be the hero Sora. I'd be the villain.
Who's the villain?
Well, at this point, I don't know what the newest one.
I think it's
Aqua.
Is it Riku or the other weird guy?
No, Riku's now, you're back to being your best friend.
That's
so
stupid.
I think from the trailer that I saw, it's Aqua, which would be the female in the Birth by Sleep Kingdom Hearts game. So I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty pumped. But I don't know if that's true. I haven't played it yet. No spoilers for me, please. Stop hitting up my Twitter feed.
I was upset that football Twitter, Houston Texans Twitter, was Red Dead Twitter for a while, and then it never became Kingdom Hearts Twitter, and I'm very upset. But it just shows the type of people who watch football. They're not the type of people you want to associate with.
What are you talking about? I feel like, though, people, it's so hard to find, like, the class of individuals that like Kingdom Hearts, because whenever you bring it up to people that have never heard of it, because now it's over 10 years for the sequel, so 10 years ago, try convincing people, hey.
Longer than that, probably.
Well, I think it was 2000. So 2007, I think, was Kingdom Hearts
2. Yeah, 06, something like that.
Yeah. So over 10 years. And think about it. Even back then, it's trying to convince people, hey, you know, it's the best game of all time. A Disney game. Yeah. Like, travel world to world.
Well, and Vince Staples' Summertime 06 was really about playing Kingdom Hearts 2 all summer long.
Dude, Kingdom Hearts 2, Double Keyblades. It was the greatest thing. Oh, my God. Double Keyblades. Dude, I fused with Goofy.
I'm gonna, for your birthday, I'm going to get you a Keyblade keychain for your keys, you know? Pretty cool, right?
Is that going to unlock your heart?
No, this heart is impossible to unlock. It's locked forever.
What do you mean it's locked forever? Nothing. Somebody has to have the key, Matthew.
Nobody has the key.
Give me the key.
It's like a black hole. Like, light can't even escape it, you know?
Oh, by the way, speaking of that. Okay, so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Grindelwald here. The Harry Potter.
No, we're not talking.
No.
This is terrible.
Let me talk
this
about
terrible.
This one thing. Only because I just want to say this one thing.
You better be fast.
Dude, it's fast. Well, you know what? Why don't you watch him, man? Okay? I'll say whatever I want to. But either way, so the whole time the movie is like slow. It's building up to like a certain moment where you're supposedly going to have like a big fight scene at the end. Big whole meeting. You get to the very end and all it is people like joining him and touching his hand. And then he's like, thank you for coming.
All right.
That's all it is. That's the whole ending. That's the whole movie, Matt. 2.5 hours
how
of me
sitting there. How many stars do you give it?
Oh, my
God. It's 2.5 hours.
It's 2.5 hours. That's what I'm saying. 2.5 hours, and that's what I went. Dude, I give it like 2.5 out of 8.
Okay. Whatever, what a rating scale that is. Well, back to Kingdom Hearts,
so we're going to go back to
Kingdom. Just because I want Fox and the Hound to be in the game. Because I want to kick the crap out of a big, stupid bear. Just really, you know, mess that bear up. But they didn't put it in this one, so I'm thinking. Actually, I do kind of want to buy it, put in a drawer, like a really fancy glass of champagne, or a bottle of champagne, not a glass of champagne, and just keep it in there for like 3 years. Be like, yeah, okay, I'm ready to break it out now. Break out the good stuff, you know?
So is that like the one world that you'd want over anything else?
Yeah, Fox and the Hound world? For sure. Just because I would love to kick the crap out of that stupid bear.
No, come on, man. You could keep the stupid crap out of the bear in, like, Brave or something like that.
No, I want to kick the crap out of that dumb bear, because screw that dumb bear with his big old red evil eyes, you know?
You know what? You know what movie they really should have in there?
They shouldn't have?
No, that they should
have.
They
should have, okay.
Go to, like, a Mighty Duck, like, world. That's what they
you
should
play
have.
Hockey?
The hockey, the Mighty Ducks.
That'd be a good minigame.
But it's like the animation movie, you know, where they're actually ducks and they have like the golden mask.
Weird, though.
Do you remember the golden mask Mighty Duck animation movie?
Yeah, I remember watching the TV show on Saturday morning WB.
Dude, I rented that movie like 8,000 times from Hollywood Video. God, I miss Hollywood Video.
My mother went into credit card debt because of Blockbuster, because of me.
Oh my God, what do you mean because of you? How much did you spend?
I don't know. You just like, like, oh, can we please go, please?
Maybe please go. That's and how you get in a debt. You get in a debt by not returning the movies, then, Matthew.
Well, I'm saying it's Thursday, and then, like, it's Wednesday. You're like, oh, and then she, and then you don't remind her because she has so many other things to do. It's like, oh, when is that due? You're like, oh, I don't know. And then all of a sudden, you know, she's $10,000 in debt because of Blockbuster.
By the way, how disgusting is it that when you think about what Blockbuster and Hollywood Video would charge for late fees versus like today where it's like you just buy
it. It's worse than student loan debt. People complain about student loan debt. Blockbuster debt was the real killer of the economy.
$500 for movies, would you pay that when the movie itself probably cost you $20 at the most back then?
Well, it's, I mean, it's
for a new VHS, $19.99.
It's an opportunity cost that the video store is losing during those days when they can't rent that movie out.
Whoa.
That's why I went, that's why I went to business school.
They could take my late fee and they could just buy 50 of those movies.
But they're not making that money whenever you don't. Whenever you have the movie instead.
Listen, Mr. Economics over here. If I want your opinion, if I want your opinion on this, I'll ask for it. Until then, just agree with my Hollywood Video analysis here.
Well, I can't agree with it because it's, I wrote a whole capstone paper on it. But you know that is good. That is a good. That is a really good point, though. People want to complain about student loan debt. Blockbuster debt, that's the real killer. You know, that
you
was the real
problem. You just said that you had a really good point. You just complimented yourself.
These, you know, these soft children, these 21-year-olds fresh out of college.
Soft
they don't know,
children, my
they
lord.
They don't know the
You're
real
lucky you
struggle.
Said 21, pervert.
They don't know the real struggle out there.
Soft children. You're well, going like, on Law & Order SVU.
Anybody younger than, I guess, 22 is a child, you know?
By the way, does anybody like younger than 22 even know Hollywood Video or Blockbuster?
I mean, maybe, but it's like, oh yeah, I remember that. I was born in 1999. I'm a 90s kid. Yeah, I remember Rugrats. They don't, but they wish. You know.
By the way, I tried watching Rugrats these days. It's some crazy.
Nobody's
crap.
Watching
Dude,
that.
It's too trippy.
Nobody's
and weird.
Watching that.
It doesn't. It's bothering. Like I don't even understand how I watched it back then. It was. It's really creepy.
Oh, you're talking about. I thought you were talking about new Rugrats.
No, I'm not watching new grown-up Rugrats.
Yeah,
who the
what
hell
doing?
Is doing that?
Dude,
I'm talking about watching the old Rugrats now. It is some weird stuff, man. And yeah. I don't even get it. It is, dude, it's a bad ass trip.
It's for babies, you know?
I get it's a bad acid trip. It's not okay.
There's no such thing as a bad acid trip. It's just different.
Wait, no,
it's just different
is.
Things that you learn.
No, Matt,
sometimes you learn some
things
the hard way. And that's all a bad acid trip is.
That's terrible.
So this weekend is the Super Bowl. So if you, it is a little late.
Talk about a bad acid trip.
Yeah. No, this isn't that. This is like. I don't know, going to church, but leaving before the last song.
What does that even mean? What does that mean? What does that even mean?
I mean, going to church can be kind of a drag, but at least you're leaving before the last 15 minutes of it, so you get to leave a little bit earlier and beat the traffic, get to the Lubies a little bit sooner. But I know this is a little bit late to bring up because the game is already this Sunday. This is posting Thursday night at 1 in the morning because, you know, we're dedicated.
That's what we do.
Yes. And I like being exhausted. But if you whatever you're doing for the Super Bowl this weekend, you know, put some hot recipes in the comments as you listen to this podcast.
Oh, God.
But and hit the subscribe button, too, while you're at it. But
Matt, come on. If they are not a subscriber and they're listening to this podcast,
they're a subscriber now.
I don't even know what they're doing here.
Yeah, and put some hot recipes in the comments. And then, but if you... don't have something to do, and you can have like invite 30 friends over just out of the blue. What you should do is you should have a Super Bowl beer pong tournament, have guy girl teams or guy guy teams.
No, guy girl teams. Because then
and
it's the two bros that show up and they
and
just
they
know
just
how
meet
to play.
Everybody. They've been playing together for like 17
exactly.
years.
Exactly. They've been waiting for this tournament
They're
to happen.
They're 39 been playing with each other for 17
exactly.
years.
Exactly. Guy girl partners makes it the fairest only because you then have to rely
for
on
sure.
your partner.
And then. Every group, every tandem is a specific team. So you have, you know, and you can dress up like Vikings if you don't want to be the actual Vikings and things like that.
Yeah.
It's
but make sure
fun.
That it's like a team mascot type
of thing.
Yeah.
The one problem with it, though, is there's so like all like, I don't know, there's at least four Super Bowls I didn't remember at all where I like woke up the next morning and I was like, oh, I kind of remember that. Like I kind of sort of remember that. I definitely don't remember that. And, like, it's nice being, like, a real adult and, like, actually remembering the Super Bowl. But at the same time, you know, how foggy things are is actually enjoyable this, also. You know, They're both good in different ways.
I'll be honest with you. I'm actually more excited that now my Super Bowl is not ending up in a fight. Because whenever it was the Super Bowl beer pong tournament and you're playing with your significant other, somehow it got too competitive in some areas where then the Super Bowl doesn't turn into a good time because when there's money involved, people get blamed. People then say you take it too seriously, but then it gets awkward because then you're just yelling at each other in front of people and everyone's like, oh my God, what are they doing? But it's competition, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you don't want to lose.
Yeah, it's important. You can't lose. You have to, and then like, you drink six beers and then you feel better.
By the way, let me touch on you. You can't remember a Super Bowl. So when do you think it's going to happen where it's going to be a holiday the next day, right? I mean, the Monday after Super Bowl is going to have to be a holiday sooner or later.
Yeah, I say get rid of President's Day. Move it to the Monday after the Super Bowl. It's in February anyways.
You might as well. It would make the most sense.
Day. And then also, like, voting day should be a holiday. And, like, more holidays is good. Who's going to complain about more holidays?
Exactly. And it's like, oh, no, we can't have that. Why? Because everybody would be happy?
Yeah.
Let's not make people happy. Let's just have them just, oh, go to the Super Bowl, call in sick. You know that's the number one call in sick day, right? Is the Monday after Super Bowl is the number one. That's insane.
Your belly's all screwed up, you know?
Well, yeah, and just like what you said, you just get drunk. You have 30 people come over. You have a good time. You're not driving. Everybody's staying put. So since you're not driving, you're just constantly drinking.
And eating just awful combinations of food.
Oh, dude, wings, burgers, dogs.
I mean, the thing is also, like, everything dips. I'm talking about is being, you know, a front lobeless idiot. But, like, then you could eat and drink whatever you want and feel relatively okay the next day. But, like, now at...
Yeah, you can't do anything.
You know, now being, an older person, because I'm 37 years old, if I eat, like, you know, chips and queso and a hot dog, oh, I'm wrecked. I'm ruined, you know. The Crohn's disease comes knocking down my door.
37 years old, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
You don't look 37.
I'm 30-something. That's right.
By the way, you look 47 these days. It's weird. Since you haven't been drinking lately, it's like you're getting older. It's like your skin is looking worse.
It's looking worse. I didn't understand that. For the first time in my life, I almost don't have circles in my eyes anymore. It's pretty cool, man.
It's because... Wait. That has nothing to do with drinking. You're going to bed at 9 p.m. And you're waking up at 6 a.m. That's just you going to bed early. That has nothing to do with having a beer.
I'm getting like 9 hours. Because that's what feels good.
Oh my God.
It's like, man, I just want to sleep like 10 hours. Yeah.
But that's what?
Like, being well rested is a drug in its own self.
Oh, yeah.
You really learn to appreciate everything.
So hardcore.
I'm going to become a Christian youth pastor too, as well.
Oh, God. You're going to be the new Nick Foles.
Yes. I need to get one of those red, WWJD bracelets, I should say.
Whoa.
Do you have any other Super Bowl memories?
I would say the one Super Bowl memory would be with Sam. That was a good one. It was after a beer pong tournament and we went to Quiznos. That was the last time I had Quiznos that I can remember because it was, man, I don't even know where Quiznos is these days. And it was like a place that was right by campus, right by the apartment.
The screwed up commercials they had with those like really screwed up little monster things.
Yeah. See, but that's
They're like roaches.
Matt, explain this to me. And this is why I bring it up. How is Quiznos out of business, but Subway still exists? Like, how is that even possible?
I guess they sell bigger sandwiches. I don't know.
Dude,
they're cheaper
Subway
sandwiches.
Was caught having shoe polish in
their
stuff.
But it's cheap.
What do you mean it's fine?
I would rather go to Quiznos than Jimmy John's. Dude, I hate Jimmy John's.
Okay, I can have Jimmy John's every now and then, but I'm still with you. Quiznos
good. Get on with the story. Why and what happened at this Quiznos?
So afterwards, we went back to the apartment, and we had Quiznos, and... We were worried because we thought we missed the whole Super Bowl because Quiznos took a long time, but it was when they had the blackout during the Ravens and the 49ers. I remember this game specifically. And then
I blacked out during the blackout is what happened.
Dude, that was one of those games where everybody had a lot.
Yeah.
And don't worry, we Ubered home.
Yeah, I guess
that's what
so.
You have to do.
I just stayed at the place I was at. I think that was the day we got a second keg as well. It was all very stupid.
Yeah, that was not smart.
I have a different Super Bowl memory for you.
Oh, what do you got?
It was the first time I went to a friend's house for a Super Bowl. I was like 10 years old. It was the Rams tied in Super Bowl, and I was very excited as a Rams fan at the time because I loved Marshall Faulk, and I ate some ice cream sundaes, and we played with like some Nerf guns and stuff. Didn't watch the first half because the Rams were up by like 17 points. Watched the second half. was tackled the 1 yard line. And you know what, Taylor? I've just been a football fan ever since because of that game.
Yeah, it's weird is I remember that Super Bowl as well.
It's
I don't
the first one I really remember. That well, actually, I cried when the Packers lost in 96 to the Broncos.
The only reason why I remember that game is because my parents like placed a bet at work and like they put numbers for like my sister and I as well. And I can't remember, they instead of like going for the field goal, they decided to go for it and they didn't get it. And I remember my dad screaming because if they went for the field goal, I think before halftime, then we would have won money and we didn't win money. So I'll always remember that Super Bowl because I was 10.
That was on ABC too.
And that was like the first time where I really paid attention because other than that, it was like the drunk times with the tournament. But I don't really remember the in-between.
I remember that Steelers-Cardinals one that we watched at your house. That one was pretty good.
I don't remember that. I mean, I think I remember, like, play of me getting mad on the interception, thinking that the guy didn't score.
He just did a tumble. Blocks in the back. There was, like, 7 blocks in the back, too. Yeah. That play is, every time someone's like, that was such a great play.
It was not a great play. We all, like, called BS, and we were 12 at the time.
We were 12.
I don't know.
But there was, like, 6 blocks in the back, and that was terrible.
But yeah, that's the one play I remember. But I don't remember much else of that.
Yeah.
That's probably it.
Also, I remember the first New England-New York Super Bowl. And I was, like, really cussing at the TV.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I was, like, 14 or whatever. And I was at a friend's house, and I was, like, really yelling at the TV. He's like, what is wrong with you? I was like, I hate the Patriots. And, you know, that's how you're really a sports fan, you know. That's how you know when you yell at the TV.
The only thing I remember the ESPYs for that year, only because Justin Timberlake was the host.
Yeah.
And it was when they had the miraculous catch where it stuck to the guy's helmet. And it was funny because it showed how that happened. No, man, Justin Timberlake was chewing a piece of gum on the sideline. He spit it out, and it knocked on the guy's helmet.
Very funny.
And the guy was able to stick the football to the piece of gum. Dude, JT, it was funny. It was a good time. Because that was also when Memphis lost in the final.
Mario Chalmers.
Yeah, with the 3. And he goes up to Mario Chalmers in the crowd, and he goes, was this so hard? And he puts a hand in his face. It was funny. Yeah. It was funny. That was the last ESPYs I can remember and actually enjoyed.
I've never enjoyed one of them. So, but I've never enjoyed anything my entire life as well.
Yeah, I know.
So that was a nice trip down memory lane.
That was actually sweet, man. Feel good about myself.
Yeah, I think this Sunday I'm going to make a big pot of chili. Maybe eat ice cream sundae too. Who knows?
I swear to God, if you don't come up hang out, hang out. That's all I want you to do.
Bring the dog with me.
So everybody, I want you to understand how old he is. He wants to hang out with his grandparents instead of hanging out.
My mother, my stepfather.
Okay, that's so adorable.
My younger brothers.
Younger brothers.
And sister.
How old is your younger brothers and sister?
12.
That's what you want to hang out with.
They're very smart.
You want to live back. That's why you're bringing up your old memories. It's because you want to go back and live those memories out.
I just don't want to drive that far. I don't know. Like, I'll figure it out.
You know what? Whatever, dude.
I just want to eat some chili.
Whatever. You know what? Invite revoked.
All right. Well, the Pro Bowl last week, we both were right picking the AFC. I woke up Saturday morning.
Wasn't even close.
I was like, man, I'm going to put like $500 on this. But I was like, what if they don't? But I was like, I'm 99% sure. But I was like, I don't want to watch the Pro Bowl and care about it. But yeah, so the AFC won. So I'm 41-23. You're 34-30 on our picks for this year. Let's see if you can catch up this week as the Super Bowl happens.
We're 10 games.
Hi, this is Scott Galloway, professor of marketing at NYU Stern School of Business and host of the Prof G Pod. If you don't know me, the New York Times calls me the Howard Stern of business. Kara Swisher, super friggin' insightful, and Elon Musk, an insufferable numbskull. I think we're going to make up. I think we're going to go somewhere and do ketamine together. Each week on my show, the Prop G Pod, we bring you insights from Blue Flame thinkers, including my nemesis, Adam Grant. Super smart guy. My nemesis because he's really good. Or one of our favorite journalists, Fareed Zakaria. Fareed's a total gangster. Not only that, we provide listeners with a markets-driven episode every Monday. We answer our listeners' questions about business, big tech, and career pivots every Wednesday and get to listen to the sweet sound of George Hahn reading our newsletter every Saturday. That's right. The Prop G Pod is in your feeds 4 times a week. I'm like AOL in the 90s. To resist is futile. Put your hand into a box of cereal. Is it a tasty, sugary snack? Nope. It's the dog.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you can make up enough bets here that you can catch back up and to these 7 games that I'm up on you by. But this Sunday is the Super Bowl. It's the New England Patriots against the St. Louis Rams, the Los Angeles Rams, the St. Louis Rams. Who cares? It doesn't matter.
They're
the Patriots are 3-point favorites. So, are you excited for the Super Bowl yet? Have you been able to talk yourself into this game just yet?
No, I need somebody to bet me like $50 more, and then I'll be more excited. I need $100 total on this game, and then I'll be more pumped. Because otherwise, man, I have no excitement. Wait, the movie trailers, commercials. I'm gonna be that guy, dude. They took Drew versus Tom from me. Like, what am I supposed to do here?
Yeah, I mean, I think,
like, come on.
I think this was the worst Super Bowl matchup we could have had out of the four. Like, this was it. Because, like, you have Drew versus Tom. You have Mahomes, who's legitimately, you know,
Young
exciting.
Versus Young.
Yeah, or you have Young versus Young. And then, like, Mahomes is more exciting than Goff is. And the Chiefs were more. And then you have Andy Reid, turnovers for Super Bowl. That's better than the Rams.
New Orleans versus Chiefs would have been better, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it would have been. Oh, my God.
Yeah, they all would have been better. And, like, I've tried to talk myself into it. I can't. Like, I'm still going to watch it, and I'm just going to watch mainly the offensive lines because I really like both these offensive lines. But, like, everybody, like, nobody's really talking about the game. Nobody really cares about the game. And I think it's just, one, because we have the worst matchup here. Two, the Patriots aren't interesting anymore. Yes, we get it. Tom Brady's the best quarterback of all time. The Patriots are really good. Bill Belichick's the best head coach of all time. There's not much interest there. The interesting thing that's going to happen with the Patriots is whenever they actually be bad and actually lose. The downfall is going to be interesting, but them winning is not very interesting. And also the Rams, like, the Saints lost that game. They had multiple chances to win it, but the main reason why they lost was because of that play. And so whenever you have a team who won after a call like that, it's hard to be excited to watch them in the Super Bowl after a game that, you know, they didn't entirely win by their own merit and guster, you know.
All right, man. So it's what I'm here for, is to bring up some drama. So all the refs were from the L.A. area, one of them even playing for the Rams in the past. The one that just so happens to be on the sideline that decided to not throw the flag. Do you think that matters,
Matthew?
There's
two of them on the sideline.
Okay, but do you think that matters?
I don't think it matters.
You don't think it matters?
Nobody's a Rams fan.
By the way,
nobody cares about the
Rams. Here's the issue, though. Why are they all from L.A.?
L.A.
Like, why are they all, like, from L.A.?
There's like 12 million people from L.A.
Couldn't they have just wrapped the New England versus Kansas City game?
It was an NFC crew, though, is why.
By the way, do you like that? Roger Goodell said that, oh, yeah, I contacted the Saints. I told them all about it. And then Michael Thomas, he didn't do a damn thing. And it was like, what? You just lied. You just lied again. NFL is such trash.
Yeah, Roger Goodell's terrible.
Because this is why it actually is worse, and why people don't care, and why people are still focusing on the call. You have said nothing to try to redeem it. You have done nothing to try to help your case. Instead, you're just hoping that it blows over, which makes it look worse.
I mean, all he has to say is, look, we blew a call.
Matt, all he has to say is they're suspended, they're fired, we're investigating, we're doing something.
I mean,
you say you're not doing anything.
I think it's a fireable offense.
Exactly. It is a fireable offense. You caused players who may never be able to go to another Super Bowl again an opportunity. It's a fireable offense, and the fact that it's not even, again, looked into, there's nothing redeemable.
Well, I think you fire them, and then you go, all right, we're going to look into this more this offseason about how we can prevent this from not happening again.
Reviews?
Yeah.
That's it?
Maybe.
That's all you're going to get? No blame. No blame on anybody.
You fire somebody, and you
that's
say, look, the way it's set up, people are going to miss calls. You know, we're going to fire them. This is a call that can't be missed.
Give me somebody.
We'll have some accountability in that situation. I was laughing. Also, I saw this on the internet, and it was like, it was like nobody, and then it said Michael Thomas, and it was Kevin Hart, and he goes, ooh, my female genitalia hurts, and it's really funny.
Oh, my God. I guess
this is a family podcast.
I guess it was more like you had to be there type of moment, right?
Yeah, you had to be in my room by myself laughing very hard.
Oh, God. Yeah. In your artistic room where there's no bed frame,
no, it's
just
like,
a mattress on the floor?
No, I'm not an artist
just
anymore.
A mattress on the floor, man. You're so artistic.
I'm not an artist. Yeah, I'm a girl. I'm an artist. I got a mattress on the floor.
No TV.
In my room. I got some books on the floor. I got some dog hair on the mattress. I'm an artist, girl.
Yeah, you ready, girl? Look outside. That's a Mickey D side.
I'm trying to be a single father or a stepfather. You help me decide, girl.
Yeah. Wait, what?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? No, it's very funny. I'll just send it to you, though.
Can't wait.
But I'm kind of a little more excited for this game now. Just talking about it.
We're talking about it?
Yeah, so let's start with the Los Angeles Rams offense. So The Los Angeles Rams offense is an outside zone heavy play action offense, and I think their run offense matches up pretty well against New England's defense just because their linebackers aren't that great. New England's better like along their defensive front, but they're more of a slower defensive front with the guys they have along the interior. And like unless Kyle Van Noy is really good, which he may be because you know the Patriots can make any player really good, I think the Rams, this is going to be the first game this postseason. Well, I guess they ran the ball really well against Dallas, but I think the Rams can have a really good running game, and that's their kind of chance to, you know, move the ball against New England this one.
So do you think, okay, let's have some fun with this. Who's going to have more yards, Gurley or Anderson?
I would guess Gurley.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think he's going to be used quite a bit, like, versus the other games?
Second game, he was just bad, and they benched him completely. The reason why I say that, though, is just because Gurley's more of an athletic outside runner with speed who can, you know, make cuts and stuff and get outside, whereas, you know, Anderson's more interior. He's not going to have the cutbacks.
Butterball.
Yeah, and, like, New England has, like, a really physical, tough defense who stops inside run games. And a good example is that Chiefs game. The Chiefs can't run the ball up the middle at all. The Chargers started running the ball, but that game was blown out. That didn't really matter at all whatsoever, where they couldn't really have a ground game. But how they play against Kansas City, where they try to run the ball in the interior, it just didn't work at all. And New England's much more as a really physical front seven, but getting at them on the outside with speed, I think Gurley can have will have a better game because of that.
Yeah, I'm hoping that Jared Goff kind of blows this and has like five interceptions, to be perfectly honest with you.
I hope his headset goes out again.
Like, I just hope that somehow the Rams don't pull this off because they just don't deserve it. But also I'm curious with Brandon Cooks going up against his old team, does it even matter? Is he going to be getting the ball? Does New England know how to shut him down? I think it's going to be fun. And then, of course, when it comes to Anderson and Gurley, who's going to get the ball more? I don't think Gurley's knee is bothering him, though. He's saying that
he was just bad is what he was that game.
But it's now two games in the playoffs where he hasn't really done anything.
I mean, he had like 5.7 yards a carry against Dallas. He had 127 more yards. Yeah, he only had like 12 carries, though.
Yeah, but who had more yards?
I mean, Anderson did.
That's what I want to know.
Anderson had.
And he looked better.
He had 20 more carries.
Yeah, but Anderson looked better.
Gurley still had a higher DVOA, higher yards.
Anderson looked better, though.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, yeah? So eye test means nothing? We're just going to go off of numbers?
Well, it's both. I don't know.
Gross.
Your eyes deceive you when you see more of something than the other thing.
Oh, yeah? What if I like to see more of something than the other thing?
You just sound like a person. It sounds like the human condition right there. Yes, in 2019, philosopher Taylor said, I want to see more something than something else.
Speaking of philosophers
really
here,
changed
do you think
world.
That it matters that McVay and Belichick have been texting throughout the season? Do you think that Belichick is then going to try to sabotage the New England Patriots once
that's
again?
What he's been doing?
Hold on.
Did you hear about that iPhone thing where if you FaceTime call, that's what he was
probably doing? A 14-year-old found that, man, where he literally FaceTimed his friend, and it was the craziest thing where he could hear him.
Yeah, yeah. That's what Belichick's
been doing. By the way, Apple, we had no idea. Oh, blah, 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 blah. They knew it was there.
Yeah, that's how they were able
to do things.
That's how I got World of Warcraft advertisers in my Gmail account.
That's how I had, you talk about something with somebody.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden you go home and you go in your search bar, you type in like a letter and it just randomly appears.
It automatically fills that
in. Yeah, that's really
weird.
Your
Gmail starts popping up with stuff like that too.
Yeah, no, that's just creepy.
Yeah, all right, more football. So the Rams, their play-action offense, they ran play-action 34% of the time, according to Football Outsiders. Super premium, super cool, super hot charting data. They averaged 9.0 yards per 9 yards of play on those play-action plays, passes, I guess, which is the third most of football.
Right,
all right, let me try that again. So the Los Angeles Rams. They ran play action 34% of the time, which is first. They averaged 9 yards of play on play action passes, which is the third most. New England's defense, 18% of the plays ran against them was play action, which is the third least amount percentage in football. And they gave up 7.8 yards of play, which is 17th on play action passes. And you know, this is a team with kind of like they're like more of a brutal front. They're kind of slower at the linebacker position. And so the one way that the Rams to think if like the outside zone game is really cooking and they're able to run play action, that's how they have to move the ball. But if this game turns into Jared Goff throwing up a shotgun consistently after wide receiver sets, that's what's going to hurt them. And if the game devolves into that for the Rams, I think they're screwed.
Dude, I'm sorry, but I feel like this is going to be... I just have such a weird feeling that it's going to be like last year. Another shootout. I just don't think either of these defenses are that good. And I think it's just the offenses where it's going to be the Rams running all the trick plays with McVay and then Tom Brady just kind of doing Tom Brady. I really think it's going to be...
I see it kind of the opposite, though.
Really? With both these defenses, though? Because you have the Rams secondary who takes the chances on the interceptions who, come on, man, they're just sad sometimes with the type of risk they take. And then you have New England's defense who, I mean, they gave
up. They've gotten a lot better those years gone on.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah. How many points did they give up to Patrick Mahomes in 3 minutes?
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes is an they had an all-time great passing offense.
Matt, they've done that to every defense. In 3 minutes, they scored 21 points?
Yeah.
To every defense, they did that.
Just about. They've done things like that.
You're full of it. Come on.
They did the same thing in England earlier in the year, too. It's different. It's an all-time great passing offense.
I'm not
confident
either one of these defenses, man.
I'm just saying New England's defense has been better in the year, though. That yeah. They've been getting credit for.
Yeah, so good. In 3 minutes, Tom Brady held the ball for so long in order for Patrick Mahomes to not touch
it.
And yet that defense
perfect.
Still... Yeah, perfect. That his defense
the
still
defense
had to go into overtime.
The defense played really well for 45 minutes of that game, you know? And then they had that pick play and the throwback play and that turnover. You know, there is context to the madness there.
So you have more confidence in the New England defense than the Rams defense?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, okay.
Well, for one, because of those, but it just depends on how well Los Angeles is able to run the ball in those outside zone plays. And also, I think New England matches up really well with their secondary against the Rams wide receivers. Because you have Stephon Gilmore against Robert Woods. Gilmore has been awesome this year, much better than he was the year before. They're probably going to bracket Brandon Cooks, not a lot of them went deep. And then it's like, now you're banking on, you know, Everett. You're banking on their tight end who had a really good game against the Saints, but
who is their tight end?
I was gonna say Everett again, something with an E. I don't know.
But they're both named Everett.
If I say
it's the Everett twins.
The thing is, if I both say they're Everett, I know at least they got one of them right.
Yeah.
But he had a good game against New Orleans, but like you're not gonna win with that. And I think they'll just have one of their linebackers just Shadow Gurley around. Who that's gonna be, I don't know. They'll probably bring
Patrick Chung.
Yeah, they'll probably bring a safety down and just leave Chung on Gurley from that point on. But I think they match up very well in the secondary. And so like the Rams, if they're gonna win this game, it's gonna be outside zone play action. If they lose this game, it's because they fall behind and it's like, all right, Jared, you have to throw all the shotgun.
Jared, this is all on you, man.
Yeah, you have to throw the shotgun. You have to beat the Patriots out of the shotgun. And then that invites the Patriots to, you know, blitz and stun and twist and be able to kind of crowd Jared Goff how they want to use, how they, into certain spots to be able to bring him down too as well. So I think that's their path. I feel like I say that a lot on the show, but I think that's the Patriots' path to limiting the Rams' offense.
So it's almost like you're saying that the only way that could, like, really affect the New England Patriots is if they had a coach that was willing to sabotage his quarterback in order for his quarterback to not get the credit that he deserves.
I don't think he needs to do that, though.
I think Bill Belichick has proven in the past that he is willing to do that. So now we have another Super Bowl opportunity where is he going to allow Tom to like give Tom some backup here in order for him to provide a defense that won't give up 21 points in 3 minutes? Or is he going to try to crap on Tom and say, this is all on you again, buddy boy? Because here's the whole thing, man. What if Bill and Jimmy G loved each other more than any of us could understand? Even closer than Tom and Bill. Jimmy.
I have no idea what you're saying. But I do like the idea of Belichick just like this entire time he's been secretly motivating yes. Brady to not want to retire. So he can win as many Super Bowls
so
with him as possible.
This.
He's like, yeah, they just don't trust you. It's like, man, you're looking kind of old, Tom. I'm going to draft Jimmy and get him staying there until he's 45 years old. Which it really is stupid that he's still as good as he is.
You know he's going to keep. But it's like what we talked about, though, last week. It's more like he has been, if he continues to just save his body and save his arm. And that's why I understand why people don't give him enough credit because of the fact of his division. And that's more like why he can save his body and not throw the cannon like he needs to.
Yeah.
Because he's going up against Miami, Buffalo,
and
the
Jets. I mean, he
has
5 wins right there.
Yeah. Like, that's kind of silly. So I get it in a way. It's kind of cheap. But with that division, because are any of those teams going to get better anytime soon?
No.
Then he's going to be able to play till 45.
Well, the Bills are going to be really good.
Oh, God. All right. I'm sorry.
Well, maybe they're not
going to
be really good, but they're going to be a lot of fun to watch. But they did have a really great defense last year. You know, maybe Josh Allen didn't get hurt for that long. they wouldn't have made the playoffs, but I don't know. Yeah, but I do like the idea of just Belichick just, like, drafting Garoppolo to try to keep Brady around longer. But even then, like, I bet Brady's going to be 45, he's going to be terrible, and Belichick's just going to have the greatest defense of all time, so Brady wins one more just like Manning did, just because that's how things work, you know?
I don't think Bill would do that for Tom. That's my whole point, too. That's my whole point here, man, is that Bill and Tom, I think there's some resentment here still. Drama. Let's create it.
They need to bleed.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, they need to bleed that out then. So the Rams defense. Well, it's like, you know, you have some electricity in the panel, or a little bit of juice left in the juice box. And before you throw away, you got to bleed it out so you don't get that juice in the bottom of the trash can, you know?
Sounds like what Dumbledore and Grindelwald did in Harry Potter.
Great. Grand. So the Rams defense. On the other end, you know, talking about secondary matchups, I don't think the Rams secondary matches up well enough in New England, because they have Aqib Talib, who's been really good since he's come back to health. Peter's just like, I don't know.
I don't like Peters at all. Why does he get so much credit?
He had all those interceptions in Kansas City. He's been bad this year, though. And I've never
he
seen
takes
somebody.
So many chances.
And he takes so many plays off. Like, I've never seen somebody not want to tackle as much as he does. Like, I mean, the tackle
attempts he
has
so much smack at the same time. And it's like, Peters, you didn't even try that play.
Yeah.
What are you even talking about?
Like, I mean, it's like trying to catch a plastic bag. That's how it looks trying to make some of these tackles. It's unbelievable.
He's waving his hands. Come back.
Yeah. Oh, no. See, I'm trying to help the environment. I'm not going to just let that fly away, you know? But with Aqib Talib, it's like, okay, who do you put Talib on? You're going to keep on one side of the field, or keep Peters on the other side of the field, I guess. But no matter what, it's not like you're locking the one player down, because the Patriots have seven receivers who all do different things pretty well. And so it's more like you need to have your third and fourth and fifth defensive backs to cover those sort of guys. And they don't really have that. Their interior linebackers aren't that good in coverage. Nickell Robey-Coleman is terrible. He was awful in that Saints game. He was beat three times, and yet somehow he got away with it. And for him to be running his mouth, too, about Tom Brady.
Dude, that's
so
what I was
going to
say. He said that Tom was old. He said it. Why would you say it?
Yeah.
And then he tried to backtrack. That was also the other thing. It was like, oh, no. My words were misconstrued. It was not what I was meaning. Wait, hold on. You can't talk smack and then say, no, I didn't do it. That just makes it look worse. That's like you and I just like making fun of something and be like, no, I didn't mean it, man. You heard what I said. No, it wasn't true.
Yeah, yeah.
That's only because they heard what you said, but it was true.
Yeah, and especially after the game he just had where he was awful. Like, he was beat three times where he got lucky that it didn't matter.
He was fine quite a bit, too.
Yeah, good. He was fine $50,000.
Yeah, he was fine. And by the way, that's not pocket change for him, is it?
I am not. I know he was an undrafted free agent who played for Buffalo for a little bit and then found his way to Los Angeles. But, you're in what? LaMarcus Joyner, Rob Gronkowski. I don't know how you're going to cover Gronk. He's actually like a real player again. Edelman versus Robey-Coleman is a hilarious mismatch. And then, like, they play a lot of man coverage, too. And they play, cover two and that sort of thing. And also, Wade Phillips' defenses have been bad against Tom Brady throughout his career. The one time he actually beat Tom Brady was because Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware were unbelievable, and Von Miller won a Super Bowl. And he doesn't have he has two great interior defenders, but the Patriots are really good with blocking guys in the interior. And so I'm not expecting a whole lot of Aaron Donald and Dominguez.
That's what I was
going to
say.
Either.
Do you think Donald is the best player in this game? Do you like have any like?
I mean, he's the best player, but I don't think he's going to have the best game at all.
Do you think they're just going to? Okay, so let me ask you this: who do you think is going to have the better game, Donald or Sue?
I think Sue will.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. I feel like Sue's going to at least have a sack, maybe even hit on Brady. But the thing is, with Brady getting the ball out so quick, it's like, is the Rams defensive line going to be able to really get at him? Going to be able to do anything? I don't know.
I think they're going to have to blitz. And typically, that's big trouble, you know?
Well, that's what I mean. It's like the only way I feel like you're going to be able to compete with Tom is if this is going to be a shootout where it's offense versus offense, which, in a way, this is where McVay's going to be able to shine. And that's where it's the battle of the minds between Bill versus McVay. With Bill texting McVay throughout the season, obviously he was telling him tips on how to defeat his defense. So now it's just going to come down
to game recognized game,
More like game tells game, because he doesn't want his quarterback to win. So my whole thing is Tom going to be able to be the greatest? Are we going to see the greatest part two?
I don't think it's going to work out like that, though, because the Patriots. Oh my God. So the Patriots are a power run offense this year. So they had 478 rushing attempts, which is the third most in football. They had 2,037 yards, the fifth most. They had 18 rushing touchdowns, the fourth most. They averaged 4.3 yards a carry, the 13th most. They had DVOA at 2.9%, which is fifth. And then also in the last two games that they played, they ran the ball. Oh, let me do some quick math here because I'm a really smart man.
Oh, I can't wait.
They had 84 rushing attempts for 321 yards. And so they ran the ball a lot. They held on to the ball a long time as well, too. Their time possession against the Chargers is 38 minutes and 20 seconds. Their time possession against the Chiefs was 43 minutes and 59 seconds. And that includes overtime as well. So that number is kind of more inflated than what it actually goes up to. It doesn't go up to straight 60 minutes. This isn't Friday night with Barbara Walters at all.
Oh, God.
So what I'm trying to say is that it's a really good show. I remember they had this episode about like bad roller coasters like hurting kids around the country, and there was this like 6-year-old girl who had got her hair caught in the roller coaster and scalped her, and it horrified me.
Oh my God! Okay, well since you went there,
no.
Let's talk about Chris Hansen now. I want to talk about.
We're not talking about him.
Why can't we talk about?
He's terrible.
Chris Hansen is the best.
No, it's not.
Okay, so your scalp story was so much better than my Chris Hansen story.
There's no good Chris Hansen.
There's always a good Chris Hansen.
What a weird, time in American history. But I mean, the Patriots are a run the ball, control the clock, sort of offense now. And the Rams' run defense was, you know, really bad until the postseason, and now out of nowhere it became, you know, somewhat decent. But I don't think it's going to be like Tom Brady needs to throw the ball 35 times, 40 times. He needs to throw the ball. How far I throw the ball is 35 times. He doesn't need to throw the ball 55 times.
He's
going to
throw
times.
The ball 35 times.
He doesn't need
Come
to throw
on.
It 55 times, though. And I think the Patriots should have success running the ball as well, too. And
do you think this is like the first like Super Bowl opportunity where the New England Patriots are going to blow out their opponent? Because they've never had a blowout like Super Bowl.
No, I don't think so.
They've never been able to like just pull it out. It's always been like the closest games known to man.
I think it's going to be a game where they go up. I think it's going to be kind of like Kansas City where the Rams are going to come back. But it won't be as close. It won't go into overtime like the last game did.
So you think it's going to be like a comeback because Bill Belichick's defense isn't going to do anything in the second half because they'll be taking a break, you could say?
No, I wouldn't say that. I don't know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't say that, but, I mean, it wasn't... They took a break, except Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs' offense, is really good. But I could see them going up by 27-13 or 27-10 or 27-7, and then the Rams kind of come back from there, you know?
Okay, well, you know what, man? I just don't think you understand what is going to be happening in this game. And what's going to be happening in this game is that Tom Brady is going to have to be dealing with his coach. You just don't understand.
This is stupid. That's not what we have to worry about at all. And also, like going back to Sue, too, you know, Sue plays the one technique. And the Patriots, I couldn't see them running a whole lot outside zone against the Rams, mainly because Aaron Donald's really good stopping that play, coming back from the backside of those plays. And I think they're going to run more, you know, power, more inside zone, more, you know, gives me double teams as they can on Sue and Donald. And so Sue's the one technique. If he's like, you know, Herculean, if he's incredible, if he's a universe destroyer, that's, you know, how they'll be able to limit the Patriots rushing attack. But if he doesn't do that, I don't like Corey Littleton to be able to, you know, swallow up a bunch of guys. Mark Barron, I don't think he's even be able to play whenever they use James Devlin, put him on the field. And so I don't think it's a really good matchup for the front seven either, unless Donald and Sue are spectacular. But again, with all the interior more power zone schemes, it kind of takes away their ability to, you know, chase from the backside, to make a quick swim move, to beat one versus one blocks, make tackles for a loss like they've done throughout the year.
Yeah, well, for me, when it comes down to this game, is that I'm just hoping it's going to be a interesting one as far as exciting-wise with a close game and defense is playing well. I just feel like that Sue may take a shot at Brady.
That may happen, too.
And if that happens, I feel like, ooh, it could be opening up a little bit of anger.
You know who the backup quarterback is?
Actually, no.
His name starts with a B. His last name starts with an H. He played quarterback for the Browns, the Houston Texans, the New England Patriots. His name's Brian Hoyer.
Wait.
That's the backup for Tom Brady.
Hold on. You said he's... Oh, I thought you were meaning his last name started with a B and ended with an H. That's why I was like, wait, what?
And then his last name starts with an H.
I was going to say like Boha or something. I was like, who are you even talking about?
Brian Booyah.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even know who you were saying. Either way, though, if Sue does take a shot at Brady, it could open up the game to make it a little bit more interesting, only because it could probably then sit in the back of Brady's mind that he may take another. So it may cause him to have happy feet, where people then start seeing the whole Brady sees ghosts whole little shenanigans. That's my only thought here.
Yeah, but he's bought otherwise, so quickly,
it's like,
though.
Otherwise, it goes back to what I just think, and that's Brady's just going to destroy them. The secondary, I just have no faith in. So it's Donald and Sue or bust for them.
Yeah.
When it comes to that.
Yeah, unless they blitz a lot, but even then, you don't really want to do
that. You don't
want to
do that. Like, he's just going to read it. The moment he picks up on it is the moment you're going to be screwed.
Yeah. And so in this postseason, Brady's only been hit one time. He hasn't been sacked at all.
He's had
some really wild pocket climbs, too. And like, he's so good in the pocket, even on top of all that. He's got the ball out so quickly. And it's really funny, like, watching, you know, the whole 22 of him. Because he knows exactly what he's going to do when he comes to the line of scrimmage. And they'll be like, the better play be on the other side, but he just takes a snap and he knows exactly where it's going to go. Maybe somebody sees in the defense. You know, there's no question at all. It's so decisive.
So do you think that maybe McVay is going to be smart enough to kind of actually, I didn't even think of that. So now that you're going to have McVay doing his whole strategy that you love so much with him being able to watch the defense establish itself and then call the offense, do you think he's going to try to roll that dice against Bill?
Yeah, he will. And
really?
That's the only way the Rams know how to play, though. They've been doing it all year. They're not just going to change it for the Super Bowl.
Would you roll that dice against Bill? Do you think that Bill's going to be able to counteract that?
I think you have to, because that's how you do things.
Yeah, okay. Well, do you think Bill's going to be able to counteract that? Let's start out with that.
Well, this is what he's going to do. He's going to show something, and then when it gets to the line of scrimmage, he's just going to change it.
What is that going to do to Jared Goff?
He's going to get all confused. He's not going to know what to do without Daddy telling him exactly what to do before every play.
Do you want Jared Goff to lose this game, Matthew?
I feel gross. I feel disgusting. I feel terrible. I can't believe I'm going to say this, but yeah, like, I want the Patriots to win this game.
Oh, my God. You're not. Oh, whoa. Like, I'm not like most people here. Only because even still, for God's sakes, Saints fans who their team lost to the Rams, they are saying that they don't want Tom Brady to win another Super Bowl, and they are wanting the Los Angeles Rams to win. What is with Tom? What does he do that to people where people don't want to see this? This isn't the NBA. This isn't a joke where your best friends team up with each other, and that's how all of a sudden you have the greatest team. This is one guy who truly has been one guy and one coach that have truly been consistent. Do people realize in the NFL this is never going to happen again? This will never happen again, man.
I would guess it would happen again one day.
How is this ever going to happen? You think 9 Super Bowls by 2 guys is going to happen again?
I would guess maybe.
Coach and a quarterback. Like, come on. Like, be honest. Do you really think that?
Actually, probably not, because the world's been too hot to have been like 30 years. So,
God, here we go.
But yeah, I mean, I understand
happening,
what you're saying.
Mark Wahlberg.
Hey. Those trees are acting kind of funny, man.
By the way, since you don't have Netflix, you should really get it. Oh, I got to give you my password, because they released their own John Wick called Polar. It's pretty crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just extremely violent and just insanity across the board, where it's just random characters that just get shot in the head using machetes, using knives. Matt, I think you're going to love it. And I'm trying to think of the actor. He's the guy who starred in the James Bond movie with Daniel Craig at the poker table. He was the villain with the eye that weep blood.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that guy.
I hated that movie.
Well, yeah, I know. But I knew that you would remember this scene, because I don't know the actor's name. It's like Moss. I can't remember. But either way,
yeah, I know
he's really good in it. That's why I recommend it.
Maybe. Well, and also, if you want an HBO account out there and you have like a Hulu account you want to trade me, I got a password for you.
Oh, God.
Trading it.
DM me.
Yeah, I'm cutting the cord. I'm trading it like Pokemon cards, you know.
By the way, I have Hulu, too.
Oh, really? Maybe we'll have to talk later.
Trade me 2 for 1, man. That's not how this works. What else are you offering? You got to bring something else to the table.
I got this dog. You can walk the dog for me.
I don't know.
So the Rams run defense this year. In the regular season, they gave up 5.1 yards an attempt, which kind of happens as well whenever you're up by a lot of points and your teams are, you know, running the ball against your nickel and dime formations. But they also had a run defense DVOA 1.5%, which is one of the worst in football, too. But then the last 2 weeks, they only gave up 98 rushing yards on 43 attempts to both Dallas and New Orleans. New Orleans had a really good rushing game entering throughout the year. And both those teams only combined for 2.27 yards in 10. And that was mainly because, and I was watching the film on all of a sudden, I thought it was all Sue just being really good, but it wasn't. It was, you know, Sue and Donald, and it was like a really good collective effort. They tackled well. They played, you know, four guys in the box and those sorts of things. And so the question, too, for, you know, entering this game is whenever they do go four in the box, they do try to play Mark Barron. It's one, not only how are they going to be able to handle James Devlin in the power rushing attack, but whenever you go heavy again to try to stop it, that sets up all those play-action passes. That's Julian Edelman against Roby Coleman in the slot on post routes. That's Rob Gronkowski on post routes against LaMarcus Joyner. And, like, that can't happen. And the other thing that the Rams need to do if they're going to win this game is they need to try to force Brady to throw it to the sideline. In that Chiefs game, he threw one pass to the sideline. That was that touchdown Philip Dorsett. The rest of the game, everything is either short and quick to the sideline. That's like a 12-yard pass through the air, or it's deep to the middle. There's no, like, deep sideline passes at all. And so I think when you have you're going against a 41-year-old quarterback, you want him one to throw the sideline because it's a longer pass, it's harder to throw, and maybe his arm gets a little tired, you know?
Yeah, did his arm look a little tired last game?
It could happen.
Do you think his arm is tired? Pass. Do you think he's not going to just, like, throw all out in the damn Super Bowl?
If you're the Rams, you just need him to miss one throw in some ways. And then also, the second thing, too, those throws to the sideline take more time to throw. Man. And that opens the door for the pass rush, which has been non-existent for every team playing New England so far this year.
Matt, he is now getting a souped-up arm, okay? He has a robotic arm that he is now just having geared. So it's normally at, like, a level 8 or 9 for the playoffs. The Super Bowl, he turns it up to 11.
Yeah.
That's what he does.
I don't get that.
What do you mean, don't get that? That's Spinal Tap, man.
I'm
God, you know what? I don't even... God, you're so young. God, you need to be like
I'm
us old folks over here.
Yeah, I'm
37. You should know it.
I'm 30. I'm 39 now.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, though. I think the Rams really do need to try to funnel Brady's throws to the sidelines as much as possible. You can't give them those, you know, deep middle throws. You can't give them Gronk on post routes. You can't give them Edelman wide open post routes. And so
he's going to get Edelman no matter what.
Yeah, it's weird, too. Because, yeah, I mean, but
like no matter what, them two.
I really
are just
hope Edelman has like 150 yards in Roby Coleman.
So do I. Like, I really hope he has 150 and two TDs.
Yeah. But it's weird, too, because like we're talking about the Super Bowl. It's the year 2019. It's postmodern. You should throw the ball every play. You should run play action every play. And I really think this game kind of like it's going to come entirely down to their rushing attacks. Like, I think whichever team runs the ball well to set their passing game is the most important part of this game from both these teams. And whether the Rams' run defense shows up, whether the Patriots' run offense is awesome, whether Gurley's running outside zone and bouncing things wide and save the play-action passes for Jared Goff, like, I think that's really kind of the key to this game is, which team doesn't have to have their quarterback throw on the shotgun to win.
That's an interesting one. I mean, because you have Michelle. That's the whole thing. Is Burkhead, who's going to have it? Who do you think will have more yards for you? Michelle Burkhead or Anderson and Gurley?
Because
you're saying that's what it comes down to. But as far as, like, your opinion, because even with regardless who wins, which duo do you think would have the more yards?
I would say Michelle Burkhead just because they're probably going to run the ball more.
Really? I actually would put it on Gurley and Anderson only because I would hope that the Los Angeles Rams don't throw the ball more only because I don't think you're going to rely on Jared Goff. I agree with you where the running game is going to be the most important factor for both of these teams. I don't think you can rely on Jared Goff, and if they have to turn to that, they are screwed. So in my mind, Anderson and Gurley have to have more yards than Burkhead and Michelle or this game's over.
Well, but I'm saying that mainly just because I think the Patriots will run the ball more than the Rams. So I'm saying more of a volume reason.
Yeah,
but I think the Rams will probably average more yards a carry than New England will.
You hope so. Otherwise,
I think
so. This game's going to get
because, I mean, like, even the Chiefs game, they ran the ball, I don't know, 48 times for 176 yards at 46 touchdowns. It was still only like 3.9 yards a carry. They ran the ball a lot, and they ran it a lot, and the Chiefs went heavy to be able to kind of slow them down the middle part of that game. And they busted open the play action passing, come back and win with all those middle of the field throws. But like overall, like it's more of like a slower grind bones in the dust rushing attack than the more explosive one, 4 a.m. Taco Bell rushing offense that the Los Angeles Rams of Anaheim have.
Taco Bud is the greatest thing on planet Earth, man. Nothing ever beats it.
The greatest thing on the earth?
Greatest thing on the earth. What is better than Taco Bud?
So on the earth, there's like only like seven things I really like about being alive.
Oh my God, here we go. We're going to go on like the seven wonders. Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. The seven wonders. Here we go. Backpacking, eating like half a pound of nuts, then drinking a, a pre-workout and then sitting in the dry sauna.
Half a pound of nuts, everybody.
Having like, and then, yeah, like having like a real big, like strong workout, you know?
Big strong workout, yeah. Not a regular workout.
After a half pound nuts, it's in the dry sauna for a while. Half pound nuts. I like doing yoga is very nice. You know, breathing is very nice
with a half pound of nuts.
Yeah, but those two things don't go hand in hand. And oh, I really like taking a nap at like 7 o'clock. And those are actually, I think there's only like four things. Oh, the Sopranos are like five things.
You're finished with the Sopranos, so now what are you gonna do?
Probably just watch The Sopranos again.
Oh, my God. How do you pick that show over anything else? This is why you're frustrating. This is why nobody can recommend anything for you.
The first time I watched it, it was just really funny, but I didn't really get the story. There's so many people and so much stuff happening. But it was just, like, really funny. And now I'm like, oh, I understand the characters. I understand the overall arcs. And now I can really understand, like, what it means, you know.
I don't think you understand what anything means. You still have a TV that's sitting in this room that you don't even watch, and you have a room that doesn't have any TV in there and just a mattress on the floor. You have taken being an artist to a whole new level.
Look, again, the mattress isn't on the floor anymore. It's set up. I'll show it to you.
I don't want to see. I'm leaving.
I'll show you the mattress in a second.
Chris Anderson, this is what I'm talking about. You don't want to talk about him, but now we should talk about him.
TV's not going up. But I guess the game itself, I don't really have anything else to add. I like New England a lot more than the Rams. And I think New England goes up by like at least two scores. And then the Rams kind of get some like crappy touchdown with 3.5 minutes left to make it look closer than it is. Do you think fourth downs are going to play a big part in this game at all?
I'll be honest. I'm not sure what I've added in this podcast during this entire time, only because, man, I'm just not excited. I need like another $50 on this game for me to be pumped. I just want $100 total just so it can be an interesting game. So if I lose, I'm angry. If I win, I'm ecstatic, because otherwise I'm not going to care. I just don't like the Rams at all. And once again, even though I'm a Tom Brady guy, it's been there, done that with New England. I would much rather have like something more interesting to watch if I had to see New England, which would have been Tom versus Drew.
Yeah.
I didn't get that, so let's go back to your fourth down question. Blah, blah, blah. All right, so fourth downs, I think both coaches are going to go for them like crazy. I mean, I feel like that the punting unit might as well stay off the field. If it's fourth and one, both teams are going for it.
Yeah.
So I feel like it will be a prime factor. I just feel like both teams are going to get them every time. I don't think anyone's going to stop them unless New England tries to run the ball on Sue and Donald, and you try to do what the Dallas Cowboys did. Just
Sue made a really great play.
Run into Aaron Donald. Are you sure that you want to run at Aaron Donald? Run at Aaron Donald.
That was Sue who made that play.
Well, you know what? No, it was Donald.
No, Sue was in the A gap and came over the other A gap to stop that fourth and one.
I think I'm always in the A gap, if I remember correctly.
I like the C gap.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the other kind of big question, though, is your fourth downs, how big a role they play, how important they are, do they go for them, who kicks the least amount of field goals?
McVay's going to go for it every time.
Maybe. He didn't go for him fourth and one, like the 3-yard line against the Saints, you know?
Ooh, by the way, that's a good other question that you just touched on that we ever brought up. Do you think these are the two best kickers in the league? Look at this.
I don't know. I guess so.
Actually, I like both these kickers.
Really,
that's why I'm saying.
Really strongly one way or the other.
Who would you rather have with the kick on the line?
Oh, I would say Hecker after he rocked that 57-yard one.
Yeah. Wait, Hecker, I thought it was like Zerline.
Zerline, yeah.
Yeah, what's the matter with Heckler? What was that? You call yourself a fan.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan. Have you ever seen that movie Big Fan with Patton Oswalt? It's a pretty good movie.
Wait, what was Big Fan with Patton Oswalt?
He's like a guy who really loves New York Giants, like a maniacal amount. And
Isn't that the Jimmy Fallon movie?
No,
the Red Sox movie?
No,
Drew Barrymore?
No, that.
Isn't that what you're talking about?
No, that's Fever Pitch.
You know what the name is.
Yeah. Because I was like, man, it looks good. I was like 16.
That was not good.
And I was like, and I never saw it at all.
Dude, that was not good at all.
Yeah. So do you have any good prop bets at all for this game? Anything you like? Like any MVP picks you got? The over-under is 56.5 points. Any Gatorade color? Well, all right, here we go. Actually, rather than giving you like seven options, I'm going to give you one option.
Oh, give me one.
What song is Maroon 5 going to sing whenever they come out to start the halftime show?
Sugar.
Which one's that? Is that the song?
You're sweet.
That's the California Bay Sugar. One. That's the California Bay You're one, right? Sweet.
I don't know what it is.
Summertime, 2015.
What is this? Dude,
I got a dog. I hope he sings that Sunday morning song first.
By the way, did you hear that they're not doing an interview because they were afraid that the media would be asking them too tough of questions
Maroon
for political
five?
Reasons? Because all the other musicians are giving them such a hard time for performing at the Super Bowl halftime.
Is that actually a thing?
Dude, that's actually a thing. Because that's what the world is, man. Nobody can be happy. You know that, right? You're not allowed to be happy in this world. If you're happy in this world, you're doing something wrong.
I don't know. That's just very... Who cares what they have to say?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, who cares? Maroon 5 could say, like, the most bigoted, hateful, awful thing in the world.
By the way...
And who cares if they do? It's Maroon 5. They suck. It doesn't matter what they have to say.
By the way, you know what the most impressive thing is? Maroon 5 has been together forever, man.
Same Maroon 5, all four, like, same original members?
Yeah, I'm almost positive. Mm-hmm. Even when Levine did his own thing...
Hey, look that up. Look that up.
Look that up, man. Yeah, fact check me.
What are you doing laying down over there? Do something.
By the way, so with them, who's a bigger band then? Who's more popular in your mind? Maroon 5, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC.
I think NSYNC was the biggest, but I think now Backstreet Boys is probably the biggest because of nostalgia purposes. It kind of flipped, you know?
Yeah, but the problem is Justin Timberlake is bigger than NSYNC.
But Justin Timberlake's the biggest one of them all, but the Backstreet Boys are... like, if they both come to... if they came to town, you could probably go to the Backstreet Boys. Well, I don't know,
speaking
man.
Of that, man, I'm going to the Backstreet Boys on Monday for Vegas.
Good.
We're going to Vegas to see Backstreet Boys live, because that's what you do, right? Talk about nostalgic.
Yeah, I don't know.
I know you're jealous. Don't worry, I'm going to be sending you videos of me wearing my Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
I was listening to Stone Temple Pilots, not the Backstreet Boys, because I'm cool and tough.
Oh, God,
you know?
Yeah, you're that artist sitting on your mattress on the floor with no TV.
Like, I'm about to show you this
looking out
mattress.
At the sky.
The Gatorade color seems to be orange. It seems like the Patriots like orange or yellow, like some real basic color, you know?
No, I'm going to say red.
Red?
Yeah. Oh, no. I'm going to take my bet back. Light blue. Because that's my favorite.
I like purple Gatorade.
Yeah, you would.
Actually, I don't like Gatorade. I like water. What's the unique
drink?
Oh,
my God.
Green tea. The MVP, I'm going to say Tom Brady's going to be the MVP.
Wow, going on a limb there, aren't you? You know
yeah.
what? I'm going to go on a limb here. Michelle will be the MVP.
I think Michelle's going to have a better game and be more important.
Okay.
But I just think Brady's going to win.
So now you're just like
it.
Trying to copy me.
I'm not trying to copy you.
But wait, so is this our last show of the year?
No, we'll still do like two more.
Oh, okay.
At least one more.
Okay.
And then I think the under is going to hit. I don't think they're going to combine for more than 56.5 points. I would hit that under hard.
Yeah. How hard would you hit that under?
How hard can I shake a baby? That's as hard as
I'm
hit the under.
Oh my God, this is a family podcast, dude. Chris.
Because I love you, baby, little baby.
Oh God.
And then I think James Devlin is going to score a touchdown, like definitely.
Okay, so this is who scores the first touchdown?
I'm saying I think he scores a touchdown.
No,
who
no.
scores the
who
first
scores
touchdown?
Who scores the first touchdown?
I think the Rams score a touchdown first, and I would say C.J. Anderson.
By the way, these are such scary bets. How do people do these?
It's because they just have disposable income.
Like, I just don't understand how I bet. I mean, even coin toss. Even song.
Tails never fails.
By the way, do they have bets on what the celebrity guest would be?
Yeah, they're like, what song is Big Boy going to sing? Is SpongeBob going to take a knee?
By the way,
he's supposed to be in it.
He's performing?
Yeah, because that SpongeBob song they did with the Super Bowl, they're
okay.
going to recreate it.
By the way, I am now fully excited about the Super Bowl because there was a petition for SpongeBob to perform at halftime. If this is why they are doing it, Matt, I'm excited for the Super Bowl.
Last year, his performance is really bad.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
I'm done with all the shows that they're trying to do.
Lady Gaga's pretty good though in Houston.
But it, the whole like even dancing sharks thing.
I want to see Creed at halftime. That's what I want to see.
They've been showing that video when they were at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Yeah, the Thanksgiving. It's the greatest.
And it was a guy like
ever.
He was floating on the.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
He was floating on like the white drapes from the ceiling that you see in like the circus. What am I thinking of? The circus.
Yeah, the Cirque du Soleil thing.
Yeah.
It was beautiful. Also like. Black leather pants, tidy whities, and wife beater is like the most. This is the greatest look ever.
Okay, so if you had the
that's my fit all spring this year.
If you had the opportunity and it cost $100 a ticket, but what it was Nickelback opening up for Creed, would you buy that ticket?
I would just show up after Nickelback was done and go see Creed.
No. You have to show up for the whole
time. Do I just stand the front the whole time? Yes. Or can I like go up front for Creed and then go in the back?
No, you have to stand the front the whole time for both.
Yeah, I would do it.
That's what I knew.
I wouldn't pay $100, but I would do it.
No, you'd have to pay $100. That's the whole agreement.
I wouldn't go then.
Oh.
Maybe if it was the Jim Blossoms
playing.
You're
not a fan.
No, maybe if it was the Jim Blossoms playing New Miserable Experiences front to back before in like a dive bar in Tempe, Arizona before the lead singer killed himself. That would be something I would want to see.
Wow. Okay, so I'm going to jump into some football here. So this is a football podcast. Let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys.
No, we're not. No.
I got to bring this one thing up. Let me bring this one thing up.
All right, very quick.
Cool. So you know that Jerry Jones is not extending Jason Garrett. And this is also Tony Romo's last year in the CBS booth. So my question to you, even though you don't want to talk about Dallas, but this is a fun conversation. My question to you is, do you think Jerry has a shot of signing Romo as the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys? Because just to let you know, I want that. I would much rather have Romo in Dak's ear than anything else on planet Earth. What do you think about it?
I think if they pay him like $8 million and Romo's like, man, I really would like to win a championship.
I think
they have a shot.
I don't think we have a shot, and it's only because with how popular Romo is for CBS, it's really going to be up to him on if he would want to ever do that or not. Because, dude, CBS after this year is going to offer him a blank check and a lifetime contract and say, "Hey, you can sign whatever you want."
He would make more coaching though than he would.
What is he doing though
but
in
the
booth?
It's also
like what is he doing in the booth? What is your job schedule?
Though. Yeah, it's the quality
exactly.
of life.
Like, he's getting paid
to
do...
He make more to coach. But, yeah,
how many
like,
days is he working?
Is the $4 million extra dollars worth it? I don't think so.
$4 million a year worth
No,
it?
Yeah, I think he would probably make, like, $4 or $5 million if he coached than where it's in the booth.
No
probably
way.
I
bet the booth is going to pay him $10 million a year.
No, they're not going to pay
CBS
him
CBS is going to be... You know what?
There's
I'm
no
interested.
Way.
I'm
There's
interested
no way
now.
Much. But...
As far as how popular he is, dude, I bet they'll shell out the cash.
There's no way they'll pay him $10 million. Yeah, 100.
But yeah, that's why I wanted to bring it up. It's actually an interesting conversation. Don't shut me down just because Dak Prescott
is
the greatest quarterback.
It's more time. We got things to do. So yeah, I don't know. I do think I just in the quality of life. I'd rather be in the booth hanging out with Jim Nance. Talking about golf, wearing sweaters and blazers, then being on the sideline, have to stay up,
that's
90
I mean.
Hours a
that's,
week.
I know Jerry's going to want him. Like, I know, because what they'll do, they'll make it very nice and easy for everybody. Garrett will then go into the office area. They'll make him a secretary. They will then move in Romo as the head coach, and then they will see if it'll all play out. While Rashard is coaching the defense, Romo's the head coach, working hand-to-hand with Dak. Oh, my God. It's my dream scenario. I love every second of this.
Good. I'm glad.
I love it. I want this to happen so bad.
That's good. So who's your pick for this game? What do you got here?
All right. So I'm going back to shootout. I know you're going to running game. I'm going to shootout here. I have the New England Patriots 38. I have the Rams 35.
Jeez, 38-35.
I know, man.
38-35.
And by the way,
35.
Speaking of the point line, did you hear with the sports betting opening up at 1.5 for New England as the favorite? 1.5.
I thought it opened up at 3.5.
No, it opened up at 1.5, and then it changed to 2 because the line like changed in 18 minutes of bettors.
Yeah.
It was like insane.
That sounded like a bad idea. Well, so the line's 3. Are you picking Are you pushing here? Are you picking this Patriots?
See, that's my whole thing, man.
I mean, you can say you want this to be the number. And you pick
I'll say no. I'll bet New England all the way here because I have bets on the line. All so right. I'll say 39-35.
That works. How they score 39 points? Who knows?
Who knows, man? Safety.
All right, so I have New England winning 27-21.
Man, you don't have Rams scoring much here.
Well, I think they get in the. I just think they don't get a fourth down, like the 10-yard line.
Oh.
They lose some points like that. I don't know. Maybe Jared Goff has a little miscue, you know, down the red zone. Who knows?
Dude, they're going to get the fourth down, or they're going to not have that miscue because the refs are magically going to throw a flag or not throw a flag.
Ooh. Interesting. Most people don't think about that.
I think about that.
Well, I don't. I've never had...
Reality TV, baby, all the way. That's what you do.
Good. All right. Well, anyways, that's our show for tonight, the big Super Bowl preview. If you're listening still, hit that subscribe button. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Tell Rick Helling, your mortal enemy. Whenever you're in that little box in the confession booth next Sunday for all the sins you commit Super Bowl Sunday, tell that man you're talking to subscribe to the podcast as well. To everybody that you know. Again... We'll be back on next Tuesday to review the Super Bowl. Taylor and I will be back on next week to just kind of do like a fun little season award show. And then we're going to go dark for a little bit.
We're not going to go dark. We have a movie podcast coming out here.
As I put my life back
only
together.
Only talking about sports movies. First movie up, Radio.
No, we're going to...
Hope everyone's ready.
We're going to read books.
Radio.
No, we're going to read books. But anyways, we'll be back on Tuesday, review the Super Bowl. My name is Matt Weston. Thank you for listening to Ball Red Radio. Thank you for talking to me tonight, Taylor.
You're very welcome, man.
I thought it was pretty good.